we're taking a look at a new federal study showing there's no effective alternative to the government's mass collection of data from every telephone call made in the United States. But the study did conclude that there are ways to control how the data collected is used.
Here to break down this report for us is Robert Sproul. He's chair of the National Research Council's committee that did this report on bulk data collection. Bob, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So the White House wanted this study to be done. What were they trying to find out? What was the basic question here?
Well, this was all a result of the Snowden disclosures when the public got quite concerned about gathering call data records, records of who called whom and when domestically, and the uses that those were being put to for international intelligence gathering by the U.S. So the president asked the director of national intelligence to do is to answer him in a year, so he's, the answer is due just about now, whether there were ways to reduce the amount of data is collected but still get the same intelligence effect. And this study was in turn commissioned by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence.
So the alternative here, do we have to collect the data about all of our phone calls, who, what number called what number and when, is, I guess, the main information, versus can we have a more targeted collection of data, make the haystack that the needle is found in smaller, I guess?
That's exactly right.
And the conclusion, it sounds like, no, we couldn't have a more targeted approach, or we wouldn't be as effective as we did?
Well, you may not be as effective. You certainly will miss collecting certain call data that might later turn out to be important. The problem is at the time you need to make decisions about collection, you may not yet know about all the possible threats. You may not know all organizations that are going to be threatening later and so on. And so the data that you collect now may have unforeseen valuable uses later, but you can't. There's no way to predict it. And that means that if I have to target now, the targets will not be as precise, and I won't be able to collect as effective data. So yes, there will be some loss of effectiveness, but you have to remember that call data is very important to the terrorist intelligence activities, but it's not the only source of intelligence about these activities. So yes, there would be some reduction in information. Would it be significant? We do not know.
So the study also concluded that, so if we do keep assembling all this information, there might be different ways to manage the information once we've got it, to control the usage of collected data, I think is the phrase. What does that mean?
Well, there are already substantial controls or limitations on how the data is used. There's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that enabled this, has very stringent controls that are required, and the National Security Agency implements those controls with a combination of automatic and manual procedures and training as well. And an analyst is not allowed to query the data unless they're trained not only on how to formulate the queries, but on the rules and regulations surrounding the use of the data. Our study suggested that those controls are actually very important, and that some more automation could be applied to make sure that the controls are applied uniformly. And, by the way, might be a way to give opportunities for more inspection by outside parties, that is, not parties inside the intelligence community, to ensure that the rules are being followed properly.
Now, I understand there are different approaches that are being looked at, maybe even implemented now. The idea maybe that phone records of this sort might be stored with the phone service providers as opposed to storing them all in a central location with the government. What's the current state of affairs? What might change with that?
So the current state of affairs is that records are transmitted to the government from the phone companies roughly daily. And the storage happens, if it happens at all, the government does the storage. The proposal you're describing is where the storage would be done by the phone companies. They would keep records for their own business for as long as they needed them for business purposes, and they would be required, presumably by legislation, to let the National Security Agency and perhaps other enforcement agencies access those records remotely. So the data would not be transmitted to the government unless it was determined that it had intelligence, specific intelligence value. This would slow down a little bit the query process, make the whole process just a little bit more cumbersome, but it would certainly mean that, in principle, the same data that the government was storing is storing itself today would be available by remote queries if this new scheme were put in place. So it would not be collecting less data or making less intelligence data available to the government.
Now, on a practical level, we've got all this data, whether it's in a central repository or in a few different locations. What do we do with it? Is it that, okay, we've got a phone number, it's of interest, it's of suspicion, and now we tap into this data to build a web of connections out from that number?
Yes, that's a very good way to put it. You don't just go fishing in the data. You have to start with a seed or a number or target of some kind that you have an indication that they're a member of a foreign intelligence organization or something like that. You cannot, for example, just go pick a phone number of a U.S. citizen out of the air and start asking who was called that by that person or whom that person called. So you have to start, yes, from a number that is part of an intelligence, some kind of intelligence or terrorist investigation.
Now, when President Obama asked for this study that we're talking about, he specifically didn't ask for policy recommendations. So why is that?
Well, I'm not sure. Obama did not ask us directly. It's the Director of National Intelligence that asked us. And the study stuck directly or confined our attention to technology questions. The reason is that the policy matters have much wider ramification, many more interested parties, many more concerns. We were not equipped in the time available and with the people available to study those aspects. We confined ourselves to technical questions of collecting the data and perhaps other ways of using the data or other ways of doing targeting. And so, for example, this is one of the reasons why we do not make any judgment on how much effectiveness would be lost if you were to curtail bulk collection. That is a policy question in part. It requires looking at in detail at how the myriad intelligence sources of intelligence information all come together and provide input to an investigation.
So in effect, it's out of your hands now. Do you know what the next step is in the process?
Well, so the next step from our point of view, our report was provided as information to the Director of National Intelligence. He owes a report to the President. It's due about now sometime, and I do not know whether some aspect of that report will be made public, but if so, it will come from the intelligence community.
Do you have a next step in terms of research on this, or are you moving on to a different project now?
We're moving on to a different project. This was a fairly intense activity throughout the summer. We learned a lot about the intelligence community and the signals intelligence, and we're happy to study another problem now.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Robert Sproul. He's chair of this committee of the National Research Council that did a report for the White House via the Director of National Intelligence looking at bulk data collection of phone information here in the United States as part of counterterror efforts.